Campus Pantry is a free resource available for all UMD students, faculty, and staff experiencing food insecurity. It is open 5 days a week from 10 to 5 and is located on the ground floor of the South Campus Dining Building, next to the Common Shop. You must swipe your university ID before entering and check out before leaving. Make sure to bring your own reusable bag. For more information, you can visit the UMD Campus Pantry website at campuspantry.umd.edu. That's campuspantry.umd.edu.
This is WMUC-FM, College Park, and welcome to Blow Up. That was Stay Here by Swans. Welcome to Blow Up. I'm your host, Keith, as always, and today we're going to talk about the no-wave movement that emerged out of New York in the late 70s. Now, you may be asking, what is no-wave? That sounds super fake, and to you, I say, yeah, it probably is fake. It doesn't even sound real, but I like to remember it by characterizing it as a rejection of the mainstream new-wave culture that emerged in the late 70s, early 80s in the realm of rock and pop music. I consider it a successor to that little avant-garde movement that occurred in 60s New York, you know, with Velvet Underground and all of them, but a thousand times more nihilistic and more harsh. And that's basically what this is, because it represents a very harsh time in New York. New Yorkian, do they say that? New Yorker. That's what you call it. You call them New Yorkers. It represents a dark time in New York history. The 70s New York wasn't the best. But yeah, today we're going to talk about the no wave movement. And we're going to talk about certain artists who fit the mold of no wave. We're going to talk about history and how it influenced future genres such as post-punk and post-rock, all the different fake post-genres that you all know and love. And, yeah, so what you just heard there was Swans' Stay Here. Swans, actually, before they moved on to their more gothic rock albums and their post-rock albums, they started off as a no-wave band. Very harsh. It's not like their other music at all. You don't really hear any of the droning there. The drumming is super crazy on that one. I don't know, I've always liked that. That's one of my favorite Swan songs ever. I love that one. Our next artist we're going to talk about where No Wave began. And I want to say, I think it began significantly with the first compilation tape, No New York, which is a compilation album of New York No Wave artists produced by Brian Eno. And you have to remember, during this time in New York, it wasn't just, how do I explain this? So New York was offset by poverty. It was not a very safe place to live. You look at New York now, and you have all these gentrifiers moving in, you know, renting, kicking out poor, marginalized people out of their homes, you know, and that they're bad. You don't want to be a Brooklyn gentrifier. They can tell that you're a transplant from a mile away. You go there, they're all going to point and laugh at you because they know you're not a real New Yorker. But back then, let me tell you, you could move from Nashville or from the South into New York and everyone would be like, why would you move to New York? This place sucks. Because it was crime ridden and there were blackouts. You know, my family lived in New York at the time. And it was not a very good place to live in, from everything that I've been told. So, you know, it wasn't just the No Wave artists who moved in there. It was, you know, also Talking Heads, Television, that post-punk wave of people also moved in. But No Wave was more harsher, more nihilistic, more avant-garde, more unapproachable in comparison to those avant-garde artists. I mean, to those post-punk and New Wave artists. And Brian Eno was incredibly impressed with the No Wave scene at the time. That he decided to produce an entire compilation featuring several artists such as The Contortions, Teenage Jesus and the Dorks, Mars, and other artists that will play tonight. And this comes from that compilation. This is Dish It Out by the Contortions. So take a listen. We'll be right back.
between the past and the current. Sentence read, not a guilty man. Knew his friend would stay strangers, but never again us. Swimming, swimming, swimming. The brief in the rise, we know never again. If I only could stay strangers to the one point which on me lays. On its back, sides and vanish sides. While strength is with us, this is where we make the X. And no one will ever break me again. What do you have?
That was Dish It Out by The Contortions, Current by Circle X, Confidential by Ott, and This Is Blow Up featuring Keith, or hosted by. And our next song, for our next song, we're going to talk about, we're going to go back to the No New York compilation. That emerged off of a three-day festival. And the first festival isn't actually on the compilation. There are actually several artists who are on that compilation. And it's very interesting. I think the artist we're about to play next brought it up as a time when he was alive, that many of the No Wave artists who weren't featured on that No New York compilation are simply still unheard of. Many people don't talk about them. They aren't talked about in the noise rock scene to this day. And I don't know, it is kind of depressing to think about that you know, put out artistry, you're perhaps just as influential or just as talented as, you know, these artists who got to work with Brian Eno, and you're forgotten for decades. Your contributions are forgotten because, you know, that opportunity didn't arise for you. I don't know, this is sort of unrelated, but, you know, I just wanted to talk about that. But on the first day, Glenn Brodka and Rhys Chatham had bands, No Wave bands, who performed. And that was, I guess, sort of the progenitor of the entire movement. And Glenn Brodka, who's the artist we're going to play next, is possibly one of the most influential rock musicians ever, mostly because I think they have a certain droning noise in their first album. And, you know, so many, like, there's so many crescendos on their first album that I think if you listen to it, if you're familiarized with, like, other, like, later, like, 90s or 2000s post-rock bands, you'd be fine with it. Because while it is intentionally abrasive, it sounds not just like, but pretty similar to the other, you know, rock musicians in the 2000s that emphasize, you know, these rising crescendos and harsh percussion and such like that. And this album is, their first album is called The Ascension, and there's several, Glenn Brodka had several symphonies their entire career. This is their most, or the symphonies off of this one are their most famous, and this is one of my favorite albums ever, one of my first exposures to noise rock. On their later symphonies, you can find artists such as Thurston Moore and Michael Jura. If you didn't know, Sonic Youth actually got their start in the No Wave scene, you know, setting up and performing and creating these noise rock-oriented festivals in New York. Their first few albums before, you know, they, I don't want to say it, they became more sterile as they progressed, but I kind of also want to say they became more sterile as they progressed, you know, moving into standard independent rock. But yeah, their first few albums, I don't think are as good as their more indie rock albums. I mean, they've always been noise rock. I think even, you know, their mainstream stuff is pretty noise rock, but still accessible. But their first few albums aren't as accessible and are pretty noisy. But, you know, their next song isn't Sonic Youth, guys. The next song is Lightfield by Glenn Brodka. This is a pretty long one. It's actually not the longest on the album, though. So, yeah, take a listen. We'll be right back. I just want to say, I want to break character for a moment. Just to say, the first time I heard that song, it was a fire drill in my high school. And I want to say that the fire alarm was probably more dissonant and unaccessible as a performance art piece than that song. That was grating. And I think it's telling that we should ban fire alarm drills for life if listening to The Ascension was more fulfilling to my ears than whatever that was. All right. Bad jokes aside, our next songs will be Death Valley 69 by Sonic Youth and Empty Vessels by Blurt. So take a listen. And once again, this is Keith. You're listening to Blow Up. That was fun, wasn't it? Yeah. I want to mention that in that Sonic Youth song, it also featured Lydia Lunch, who's probably one of the first, I don't want to say one of the first goth musicians, but definitely one of the most influential goth musicians of all time, who I feel like doesn't get their praises enough in music. And, you know, she was dating, I want to mention, she was dating Nick Cave from the acclaimed Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. And I personally think that she probably introduced goth culture to Nick Cave, and that is the reason his music is like that. I wanted to play a song by her tonight, but most of her discography, her earlier discography, is not available on streaming. I also want to mention she did record an album with Nick Cave. And that album was recorded in 1982, and it didn't really come out until, like, 1986, which is honestly kind of crazy. But, yeah. For our next song, I want to mention Suicide, the band Suicide. Suicide precedes the no-wave scene, I kind of want to say, but they are very minimalist. And I think that this minimalism is probably the biggest inspiration as it comes to this no wave scene. And their self-titled album Suicide is not only, you know, super influential to the no wave scene, it's one of the most important electronic albums of all time because of this minimalism. And it wasn't just, you know, innovative to the electronic scene and the no wave scene, it was also innovative to the post-punk scene. And people of, you know, different genres, it influenced Bruce Springsteen. I don't really see it. Maybe the later Springsteen stuff, or maybe he just likes it. And artists just like to say they are influenced by something, and then you listen to their music and it sounds nothing like what they're influenced by. So maybe it was one of those. When it came out, the reception was pretty negative. It's not hard to see why, probably, if you listen to it. I personally like it. But if you haven't been exposed to music like this, if you're just creating it, then I'd expect the reaction to be quite negative. But it's been reappraised in recent years by prolific, you know, music publications. The ones that you know of. I'm talking to you, you dirty pitchfork readers. All right. Our next song is going to be Ghost Rider by Suicide.
Ghost Rider, motorcycle hero. He's a looking so cute. Sneaking round in a blue jumpsuit. Who's riding a motorcycle hero? Baby, he's a blazing away. Stars in the universe. Ghost Rider, motorcycle hero. Baby, he's a screaming the truth. America is killing its youth. Baby, he's screaming away. America is killing its youth. America's killing its youth. Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider.
Ha ha ha!
I don't know if we're going to get time to play our last song, but the last thing I want to talk about is how the no-wave movement transcended outside of music. And there are a bunch of filmmakers, such as, I want to shout out Jim Jarmusch. One of his first music, I think, fits the mold. One of his first movies fits the mold of the no-wave movement, and that is Stranger Than Paradise. It's a great movie. It is basically about a guy whose cousin comes to visit him from Eastern Europe, and they go to visit their other family members, but they go on basically a trip with their other friend, away from the city. And it's very minimalistic. It's very quiet. Not much really happens in the movie. It's not really loud and abrasive, but I think that minimalism really ties into what the No Wave movement is about. And I think that, you know, it being transgressive, that it people may watch it and not really understand it. I don't know. I watched it and my dad was sort of tuning into it, and he kind of like got it and was into it. So maybe I'm wrong, and like a normal person can watch this and listen to this music and not really find it that countercultural at all. We don't really know. I think if you're really into this music, you kind of think that you're kind of a genius for listening to this, but you're really not. You're also a normal person. That's all for me tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next week. This is WMUC signing off, and have a great night.
Complicated constipations and sitting thinking shitty stuck up niggas gon' clog up the path to my destinations. I see my partner going through changes, gotta support, I need a refresher, asking baby when we going back up north. The sooner the better, spend too much time on the porch and even more inside. 5 p.m. the sun and hear my skin and eyes. Yeah, why cry before it's night? We often cause our own demise, and I realize that perfection is subjective, not real, strictly based on projection and perceptions. So I don't really care how you feel. I feel like a nigga that died in the 90s, reincarnated and more protected. The way I feel nostalgic in my reflection of what I need to make. True, feel my appeal, cause I'ma make it precious. Yeah, yeah. It's a soul to my sound. Come from the Afro now.
Stay stumbling about what these folks done decreed upon the world, and they see it in this.